We come now to hear BJ bring our scripture for this day. We are in the season of Epiphany, and the light that came at Christmas was not meant to stay in a stable. It was meant for the whole world. It was meant to be shared. It was meant to grow. It was meant to take over the whole earth so that God's light in Christ may be known everywhere by everyone. That begins now with this story. Jesus is now an adult. He is ready after his temptations. He's ready to begin his public ministry. And so the reading from Matthew chapter 4 will be a view, a door into how that beginning happens. So listen for the word of God.
The reading today is from Matthew 4, 12 through 23. Now, when Jesus heard that John had been arrested, he withdrew to Galilee. He left Nazareth and made his home in Capernaum by the sea, in the territory of Zebulun and Naphtali, so that what had been spoken through the prophet Isaiah might be fulfilled. The land of Zebulun and Naphtali, on the road by the sea, across the Jordan, Galilee of the Gentiles. The people who sat in darkness have seen a great light. And for those who sat in the region and shadow of death, light has dawned. From that time, Jesus began to proclaim, "Repent, for the kingdom of heaven has come near." As he walked by the Sea of Galilee, he saw two brothers, Simon, who is called Peter, and Andrew, his brother, casting a net into the sea, for they were fishers. And he said to them, "Follow me, and I will make you fishers of people." Immediately they left their nets and followed him. As he went from there, he saw two other brothers, James, son of Zebedee, and his brother John. In the boat was their father, Zebedee, mending their nets. And he called them. Immediately they left the boat and their father and followed him. Jesus went throughout all Galilee, teaching in the synagogues and proclaiming the good news of the kingdom and curing every disease and every sickness among the people. This is a reading of God's word.
Thanks be to God. Let us pray. God, thank you for calling us, for we have heard your voice calling our name and asking us to follow. May your word so break into our minds and hearts this day that we will say yes once again. In Jesus' name, amen. Well, the story of Jesus beginning his public ministry has him leaving his hometown, Nazareth. And he marches, he walks north into the region of the fishing people of the Lake Galilee. And as he walks, he sees two brothers, Simon Peter and his brother Andrew. Their nets are in the water, maybe a good catch for that morning. And Jesus says, "Follow me." And immediately they drop the nets, drop the fish. The fish get away. They leave their nets, their boat, and they begin to walk beside and along with the one who called them to a new life. My goodness, they could never have known how the world would be changed because they said yes, and because the light of the world was beginning his marvelous, marvelous work. As they walked, there were other people fishing, working along the lake. And Jesus stopped and he saw two more brothers. Their names were John and James, James and John. And they were with her father. The father was there watching over their work. And they were mending the nets so they could go out for a day's work. Jesus said something to them. The scripture doesn't say exactly what he said, but we assume it was similar to what he said to the other brothers, "Follow me." And immediately they left their nets and also their father. They had no idea. They could not have known how the world would be changed because they heard the call and they followed the light of the world. I'm using my imagination here a bit. Join me in imagining what it would have been like then for Zebedee, the father of these two boys, who goes home at the end of the day. He walks into the house, and there's Mama. And Mama says, "Where are the boys?" And a soft answer comes back, "They're gone." And Mama says, "Gone? Well, what time will they be back? I need to know when to put supper on the table." And the father says, "They're gone. And I don't know when or if they will ever enter this house again." And I can imagine the mama being a little bit perturbed about that. And she might have said, "Well, who's going to help put the food on the table now without the sons to help? You need them. Why did you let them go?" Misunderstandings. She could not have known. How could she have known that they left to follow the light of the world? The call. Follow me. We've all heard the call some way. How did you hear the call? How old were you when you first heard it? Who did it come from? Was it a Sunday school teacher, a pastor, a mother, father, grandparent, mentor, friend, someone, somehow, gave you an invitation, and you said yes, but you didn't just say yes one time. You said yes, and again you said yes. And again, you said yes. For all of our lives, we are continuing to say yes because things change, new opportunities, new challenges. We grow, we change, life changes around us, and we learn that the first yes is followed by many many yeses. I love that hymn of the 19th century written during the dark days of the Civil War by a great hymn writer who wrote one verse of his hymn says, "New occasions teach new duties." Well, how true that is. The world is not like it was 10 years ago, 5 years ago. And so we find ourselves needing to say yes again and again and again. I remember an old story I read some years ago, and I don't remember the details, but I remember most of the story. There was a it's a true story. Is a man who was put into a prison. It was a terrible place, and I don't remember if it was a Russian gulag or whether it was a death camp in Poland. Doesn't matter those details, but here he was, dropped into this terrible place, disoriented, confused, not knowing what he would do, how he would survive, what was to come next. And somebody, some other person, noticed his distress and began a conversation with him. And at the end of the conversation, he reached into his pocket and pulled out a potato and tossed it to him, grabbed it. And then the man made the sign of the cross. The prisoner who reached out for that potato and is in a place where everyone was starving to death. This other person, stranger, someone he did not know, didn't even know his name, shared with him an act of unspeakable generosity and kindness and goodness. And the writer of this story tells us his life was never the same, that he spent the rest of his days wanting to have a heart like that, a love like that, a generosity that deep, that rich. We have all been blessed in some way, some act, some story, some person, some opportunity of love. We were a part of that. We received it. It was the right person, the right word, the right moment. And we were able to say, yes, this is who I want to be, and this is who I want to follow. It's not easy. It's very difficult. It's the greatest challenge of life. Because if we decide to follow, we will be misunderstood. If we follow, we have to say goodbye, as James and John and Andrew and Peter said goodbye to the nets, to their way of life, and then to a father and a family. We can be misunderstood, and it's difficult many times. This is not an easy thing to be a disciple. We will be changed. We will go places that we had never dreamed of. We will do things that we had never thought of. We will be misunderstood. I had three friends in my first year of seminary. Their stories are so similar. But let me just kind of remember them with you just for a minute. The first was a young man who I worked alongside of in the cafeteria school. Got a free meal by working in the line where I offered a place of desserts and various things. And he worked right next to me, so we got a chance to chat with each other often. His father was vice president of Boston University, very successful executive position. And the father had big designs and plans for this son of his. But the son came to seminary, and the father broke off contact and relationship with him completely. The second person was, these all three stories are so similar, was from Virginia. His family owned a meat, not a meat, but a meat and vegetable business, very successful. The family expected the son to follow in the footsteps of the other family members. And there he was in seminary. And his family did not disown him outright, but there was abuse and terrible words were spoken. Was hard. Third story, practically the same. The other student's name was Reese, and he came from very affluent background as well. His family was in the furniture business in North Carolina, and his family could not understand him, could not hardly speak to him, because he also did not choose to follow in the family business. Like the first disciples, he walked away from parent, he walked away from the nets to a different life. I had great respect for these three colleagues of mine. It's hard. And we can be misunderstood. And we may even create schism and anger among those that we love the most. So let me add my own personal story. It's not quite like these three colleagues of mine, but it's somewhat similar. One day we were back home in Missouri for vacation. It was summertime. My father started me playing golf when I was 11 years old, and there was never a vacation that we didn't play golf together when I was there to visit. On this particular occasion, we pulled up our golf cart alongside another. My father was wanting to say hello to one of his friends. And then he introduced me to his friend. And his friend responded, "Mel," my father's name was Mel, "I didn't know you had a son." And I realized I was a disappointment. My father had different designs. And in many ways, I was the failure child of the family. It's hard. It's hard to follow the light of the world, when God calls us to a great, wonderful life, blessing after blessing, and love and joy and peace, all of the wonderful things that are promised to each one of us. But it's not easy. We have to learn how difficult it is. And as we walk faithfully in our own day, in this new century, this new time and place, there will be difficult moments where we are called not to a life of privilege and riches, though that may be a part of our lives, that's not what we're called for. We're called to stand side by side, to walk side by side, and to love those who God loves. The world will not ever love all who God loves. It will mean that we will take our place, our voice, our very bodies, our witness. As Jesus, in this scripture for us today, as soon as he called his disciples, says that he went around the whole area, healing, touching the least and the lost, the most hurting, the most neglected, the most rejected. Says that he healed all of their diseases and all of their brokenness. If we listen carefully, God will call us there too. And God will give us strength as needed as we follow on the way of discipleship and faithfulness. Are you listening? Where is God calling? Amen. Let us pray.
Amen, brother.
Well, God, we hear your call because you make it come to us. You bring it to us in words and expressions that let us know that we can't stay where we are. That if we are to be faithful to you, we will step out into difficulty and hardship, struggle, so that we too can love who you love, so that we too can be a part of the light of the world. Amen.